can we just turn quickly, because we've gone a long time, to Let's Go to the Movies? I had wanted to touch base on three movies. This summer, I was in Cincinnati, and I kept inviting my house. I was staying with my attorney and her teenage son, and I kept saying on Friday nights, let's go to the movies. And so off we'd go, and we saw, first we saw Prometheus, because I love Ridley and Tony Scott, and I've never seen a bad movie by Ridley Scott until Prometheus, which to me is absolutely dreadful. Have you seen it, John? Okay, don't go see it. And then I saw Avenger, and then Men in Black. I love the Men in Black series. I love Will Smith. But they are all three movies, John, are about just frightening and hideous alien invasions. And I saw them boom, 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 one after another. And I thought, what is the message here? And, you know, one of my favorite comments as I go through life, I've been saying for years, you know, it just keeps getting weirder. And I must say, these three movies were so weird, by the time you walked out of the theater, you were ready to find, you know, the real world, sort of the new normal. You were ready to think of the weirdness as sort of normal after Avengers, Prometheus, and Men in Black. But I still have a question of, you know, what is the message here? And I don't have the answer. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I have some thoughts. I mean, I've got many levels of thoughts. One is, you know, to try to show people that they're helpless, or that, you know, some horrible thing is coming on the horizon, whether it's an alien invasion or whether it's the collapse of, you know, some of the society or chaos, or there are only a few people who can do anything to stand up against the forces of evil. Everybody else has to be, you know, mowed down in the streets. You know, the crowds are always getting killed and so on.
Uh-huh.
So there's that level of it. But I also think that they're sort of feeding into what is an authentic, you know, passion and curiosity about what's happening off planet.
Right.
I mean, I remember when I said to somebody, I think it was whenever Star Wars came out, 1977, the first movie, I said, you know, at this moment, if a president ran on a platform of space exploration, and he was eloquent enough and passionate enough and sincere enough about it and said, this is where we're going, and on an economic level, it'll mean full employment for everybody. Everybody's going to have a job if they want one. And this is the great adventure, that he could have gotten elected. There was a moment
right.
in time when that was the case. And I remember a friend of mine who went to see the opening, the premiere of Star Wars. And it was on a weekday morning at 11 o'clock in the morning at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. And she was in the theater. It was packed. And I hadn't even heard about this movie. And she said that as soon as the title or the script came up on the screen, you know, In a Galaxy Far, Far Away,
uh-huh.
a roar went up throughout the theater that was made your hair stand on end. It had nothing to do with the movie yet, because nobody had even seen it.
Right.
As soon as it started, people automatically responded, and they responded in a positive way. It was like, let's go. This is it. This is the next step. This is what we're supposed to be all about.
Right.
And I may have mentioned it in a prior conversation with us here, but I interviewed a guy named Ted Clark, who was a hard scientist at JPL in charge of instrumentation for the Jupiter Galileo probe. I did an interview with him for a newspaper back in the, I don't know, early 80s. And he said to me, orbiting hotels, you go out, you come back, you watch the sunrise every 90 minutes out there, you tell all your friends, they go out. And then he said, 10 cities, 10 domed cities, I won't get into the details, but he gave them to me, that go out into space to rendezvous around a planet that circles Barnard's star, where we think this is likely where there are conditions for life. And the idea is that they rendezvous there, these 10 domed cities, in 20,000 years, and they compare notes on the evolution of their civilizations. He said, that's a real space program. He said, that's what you mean when you say space program. And he said, we could actually work toward doing that. I mean, he said, it's not like there are so many obstacles that we couldn't do it. And he was taking tours of people to Athens and other places in Greece to talk about the Renaissance that occurred at that time in Greece, in ancient Greece, because he wanted to tell people, this is it right now. This is a Renaissance. This was back in, let's say, 1982. And he said, we can do this again. We've got the tools and the technology and the vision if we want to do it. And so I think what happened was, in the interim, that through a number of events, this was turned and turned and turned and turned until it was no longer had the energy of a positive vision. And then what you got was all of the crap, the invasion by the bad guys and the horrible things, you know, creatures from outer space in one form or another. And how many movies? I mean, we're talking like 56
many movies,
you know, to the point where people, if you were to propose this now as a real national agenda, people would not only scoff at you and laugh at you, but they would curse you. I mean, they would say literally,
I think the hunger
the
world is
because we have to do this and that and the other thing before we could even think of doing that. I mean, I think the hunger's for a hell of a struggle.
I think the hunger's still there. I'll never forget seeing Robert Dean speak, and he said, the thing I hate the most about the way, you know, this has all been covered up is, he said, you know, it's my children and grandchildren's destiny to travel and explore the stars. That's their destiny, and you can't deny them their destiny. And it was one of the most uplifting comments I'd ever heard. It was just, marvelous.
I was so riveted by this stuff in the late 70s and early 80s. I mean, I was just looking around and saying, don't you get it? Come on, this is it. I mean, he described, Ted Clark did, you know, there's the details for me. And I said, you know, you're talking about, among other things, full employment. And he looked at me and said, you're right. He said, everybody works. You know, everybody works.
Right.
That's what they say in Hollywood. They make one of these blockbusters where you recognize like 50 actors that you haven't seen in years, you know. And that's a movie where everybody says, everybody works. You know, everybody gets a role. Okay, you're on screen for like 3 minutes, and this guy, this other guy here that hasn't been in a film for like 10 years, he gets a little part. Well, everybody works in this kind of a space program. There's nobody who can't work.
I told you the story. Did you go look at Gary McKinnon?
Oh, yeah, I did, indeed.
So Gary McKinnon, for those of you who don't know him, was a hacker. He's a British hacker, and he hacked into the Navy databases and discovered records of Starfleets, which are, in fact, traveling the stars, and dished this out. Well, the American government has gone to great lengths to try and extradite him back to the United States, And when I was, when Men in Black first came out, I was in the gym, John, in Pennsylvania, and I saw up on the TVs, you know, you're sitting on the aerobics equipment, and up on the TVs, Will Smith is sitting on the Intrepid getting interviewed by Robin Williams about Men in Black 3, and behind him is 100 naval officers in Navy white. And interspersed among them is 100 Men in Black. And so I was describing this that night on the Solari Report, and I made a joke about, well, I guess Gary McKinnon was right. And suddenly the line was spiked, and I and everybody in the Solari Report was thrown off. And I got back on, and I said, well, I guess Gary McKinnon was right.
Yes, he was.
Oh, I guess he was. So
incredible. incredible.
So somewhere, a few of us, hopefully, may be traveling the stars. We know we certainly have the robots up on Mars.